Yeah, praise the Lord.
Hymn 24, Sing It to the Lord. Walking in sunlight, all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Amen. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In a bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing with faithful mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sun, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Jesus is mine. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated, folks. We'll sing again after. What a blessing to walk in his sunlight of love. I tell you, folks, there's nothing like it. Walking in the Spirit, loving my Savior. Amen. What a privilege we have as his people. Let's grab our Bibles this morning, folks. We'll get right to our message. And open up your Bible to the book of 2 Chronicles this morning. 2 Chronicles, chapter 16. How many of you knows this morning that we need the whole Bible? Amen? We need the Old Testament and the New and every book therein. In 2 Chronicles this morning, chapter number 16, I want to bring a message this morning concerning a certain man named Asa. Now, the year is 940 BC. Asa is king over Judah, the southern tribe. Asa's dad was a man named Abijah. Abijah was a good king. Asa's son would be Jehoshaphat, another good king. Asa was a good king. Look with me in chapter 14. I want to show you that before we get to our text. In chapter 14, his father was a good man too. Abijah slept with his fathers and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment, Asa was a good king. Amen? That's a little bit of his background. But here in chapter 16, the northern kingdom comes out against Asa and the southern kingdom. And he has what I term a lapse of faith. Has that ever happened to you? Oh yeah, it happens to all of us. And we need to be reminded that the Lord is God. And he is with us. Amen? And the northern kingdom comes out and literally surrounds Judah with all their armies. And it's at this point that Asa makes a graphic mistake. Look with me here. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning. And we're going to read in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I'll begin in verse number 1. Look with me at verse number 1. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, northern kingdom. And they smote Ijon, and Dan, and Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah, and left his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building. And he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time, Hananiah the seer, the man of God, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, and very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand." Verse 9, here's my text. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Then Asa was wroth with the seer, and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. Beloved, I want to call your attention to verse 9 this morning, and I want to preach a message I've entitled, "The Eyes of the Lord." The eyes of the Lord. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." Father in heaven, how we thank you for verse 9 of chapter 16. How we thank you, Lord, that even though Asa messed up, Lord, I thank you that your eyes still run to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those who seek your holy face, seeking for those who love your Son, seeking for those who will look to you and trust you by faith for everything in our lives. And Father, I thank you that when Baasha came out against Asa, all he had to do was look up. And I thank you that just the same today in our Christian lives, all we have to do when the enemy comes knocking at our door is look up. All we have to do is get on our knees and seek your holy face, and victory cometh. Lord, we thank you for that today. And we thank you for the eyes of the Lord. We ask you to bless the message in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, beloved. These words in verse number 9. Good morning, sister. Praise the Lord for you. Were uttered by the prophet Hanani under divine inspiration from God. And because we know that God cannot change, he's immutable, therefore we know that this verse is still true today about God. For all the world, beloved, listen, there are those people in the world today who do not believe this fact. They believe that everything came into existence by accident. They believe that there is no God out there who is controlling and maintaining the world in its current state of existence, but that everything happens by chance. But beloved, that's not what God says in his word so clearly. The Bible says in verse 9 clearly that the eyes of the Lord are maker. They do run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And they do so for a reason. Amen? I want to consider 5 reasons for that this morning. The first thing I want you to consider, beloved, is this. Notice the reality. The reality of the eyes of the Lord. Look with me in verse number 9. We'll keep coming back. For the eyes of who?
The Lord.
The Lord. The eyes of the Lord. It's taken for granted by the writer of the text, by the Holy Ghost, that the eyes of the Lord are real. They exist. And they're active in the world today. I am so glad that we serve a living God, folks. I'm so glad that His eyes are upon us this morning. And I want you to consider this reality of His eyes. If you do, it'll transform your Christian life. You realize that God is not only omniscient, He's omnipresent. He sees everything, all the time, everywhere. Nothing escapes His eyes. Amen? Beloved, the simple truth is that most people do not perceive the reality of this statement. For the eyes of the Lord are run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Everywhere. All the time. They live and act and operate as if God does not behold their lives. But He does. He does. God is not like kings who see by their servants' eyes. Amen? More than by their own eyes. What is going on in their kingdoms. God cares. God's care is immediate, literal, and personal. Amen? Listen carefully. God does not need the eyes of ministers or Moses or David or prophets or angels because He sees all things perfectly at once through His own eyes. He doesn't depend on anyone else. Amen? Go with me to Proverbs. Hold your place in our text. We're coming back. Proverbs chapter 5. What an incredible verse we have here concerning the eyes of the Lord our God. I'm glad they're real this morning. I'm glad they're with us this morning. I'm glad they're beholding what's going on in Hooksett at King James Bible Baptist Church. Look at chapter 5 of Proverbs. Don't miss this. Verse 21. For the ways of man, what's that next word? Are before the eyes of the Lord. And He pondereth some of His goings. Wrong version, brother. All His goings. Notice in verse 21 that the Lord observes everything we do all the time we do it. That'll straighten out your Christian life quick. When you realize that His eyes are upon you and everything you think, everything you say, everything you do, you'll live right. You'll walk in the Spirit. You'll obey His word. You'll cleave to Him. You'll worship Him. You'll serve Him. Why? Because His eyes are upon you. I've got good news this morning. A little boy was a member of the school soccer team. They had a really big game against their arch rivals to determine which team would advance to the playoffs that year. The little boy was looking all over the stands before the game started to see if his dad was watching him play. Disappointed that he wasn't there, the boy still played hard and even scored the game-winning goal. When he got home that night, he told his father how he wished he could have been there, could have seen him score the winning goal. And then his father turned to him and said, "But son, I was right behind your net. I saw you score the game-winning goal." He didn't want to make him nervous, so he stood off to the side. He said, "Dad was watching you all the time. And I'm here to tell you, beloved, that your heavenly Father is watching you and me all the time. I'm so glad His eyes are upon me. I'm so glad when the enemy comes knocking, He's right there to rescue me. I'm so glad when the flesh stirs up its ugly head, He's right there to deliver me. I'm so glad when the world's closing in and the tunnel's real dark, He's holding my hand." Amen? Why? Because of the reality of His eyes. But secondly this morning, concerning the eyes of the Lord, notice that we must consider their swiftness and their speed. Back to our text in 2 Chronicles 16. Look at verse 9. I want you to consider their swiftness and their speed. Verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord, what's the next word?
Run.
They run. They're quick. They're fast. They don't miss anything, that means. Amen. Listen carefully, beloved. Think with me. Here we have a verb describing the eyes of the Lord. It's an action word. They run. Describing something that God does, indicating that God is eager to accomplish some certain things or things in our lives. You know that when God works, he works quick.
Oh, that'll preach.
When God goes to work, he works quick. You know, when you know something is God's will, when he opens that door like the Red Sea, and man, you go through on dry ground, you know that God did that. Like the website. I've been serving the Lord for 27 years, 28 next month. But I've never had a website in any of my ministries. And all of a sudden, one of our missionaries that came here from Mongolia calls up our treasurer and says, you guys should start a website. And Kyle comes to me and says, hey, Brother Kerouac said we ought to start a website for the church. I'm like, a website? I've never had one. I don't care for the internet, you know. You guys know I'm a dinosaur. I live in a cave. My wife says, you live a very sheltered life. Amen. Amen. Me and my Jesus. Give me my Bible, man. She goes to the mall and says, hey, leave me in the car with my Bible, girl. Take your time. But the point is this. Listen, God works quickly.
Amen.
When he works, he runs. He doesn't do anything
like a snail's pace. You know, watch these guys at GE, and they're making 50, 60 bucks an hour, and they're like, maybe I'll make a few parts now, you know? Man, get with it! You're getting paid big money, you know?
I'm just a security guard. I can't boss them around, but I'd like to. Listen, folks, God, let me suggest a few reasons why God's eyes run through the earth. First, God is swift and speedy to receive his wayward child back. Remember there in Luke chapter 15 when the prodigal son went off into the world? The Bible says specifically that when he came, the father ran to meet him and kissed him on the neck. He said, welcome home, my son. He's swift and speedy to receive his wayward child. God is swift and speedy to redeem lost souls. He's looking to seek and save that which is lost. Amen. I'm so glad of that because he found Bob Oliver one day, October 3rd in 1986. God is swift and speedy to answer the prayers of his children. Aren't you glad that when you pray, he not only hears you, but he begins to work through that situation and take care of that problem for you? Oh yes, he's quick about that too. Go to Psalm 34. Hold your place again. Psalm 34. I want you to notice something about his speed in acting. I'm glad we serve a living God. And he works in our lives. And he does it quickly. I'm glad he's not a slow poke. I'm glad I don't have to come to him for years and years to get something done. Amen? So a lot of people badger him with vain repetitions. And he says, stop it! I heard you the first time. In Psalm 34, look at verse 14. Depart from evil. That's a good thing to do. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. You know what that tells me? Verse 14, if you're living right and you pray to God, verse 15, because his eyes are open to what you're saying, he hears you, and look at it, his ears are open unto their cry. It means he cares. It means he'll do something about that situation you find yourself trapped in. Listen to me. God is eager and desirous to help man however he needs it. You know what the problem with most people in the world is? They don't know that God loves them. And God wants to help them. But they need to come to his son before he can.
Right.
Amen? And how many of God's people act like he's not there? He's always there. The eyes of the Lord run swiftly and speedily. I remember when the boys, we got two boys and two girls. I remember the boys were little rugrats. And they just learned to walk, you know. Well, Bobby was kind of a miraculous. He was walking at 7 months. And he'd come home from work and he'd put my work boots on, you know. My cowboy boots. And, you know, he's just a little tot. And he'd get in those boots and he'd try to walk in them, right? And he'd go, whoop! He's going to fall. And I would run to catch him. I wouldn't want him to get hurt. Amen? That's how your Heavenly Father is. Something's going on. He runs to your side because he loves you. Because you're his child. Glory to God. All right, we've seen the eyes of the Lord in their reality. We've seen that the eyes of the Lord are swift and speedy. But thirdly this morning, we must consider their diligence. Their diligence. Look back in our text at verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. To and fro throughout the earth. Beloved, I like this part. Because, listen carefully. God's working on mankind is not just a one-time thing. Amen? Listen, he is diligently, busily, and unceasingly attempting to accomplish his designs and purposes in your life. Amen? He's diligent. He's diligent. That means he won't stop. Look at that, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. To and fro. Listen, it's because he loves us so much that he wants to accomplish certain things through our lives. I love that. I love that. That my God is diligent in working in my life. He doesn't quit. We got a bunch of quitters today. You notice there's plenty of empty pews this morning in church? Why? Because they don't realize God wants to do something great in their lives. If they only let him. He's caught. Listen, two ways I see that he is diligent in running to and fro. First, he is diligent running to and fro on behalf of his dear children. Because of his divine design for your life. Hear what I said? Oh yeah, for you and you and you. He has a plan and he'll be diligent to accomplish that. He won't stop. Secondly, he's diligent running to and fro on behalf of all those who are not his children. Did you hear what I said? I didn't say he'll answer their prayers. They don't belong to him yet. But I said he's diligently seeking those whom he can save. He's constantly sending preachers to proclaim the truth of the gospel. He's constantly, listen, sending his faithful witnesses to compel the lost to come to his son. He's sending his Holy Spirit to convict them of sin and their need for Jesus Christ. Amen? He's diligent, folks. Go to Zechariah chapter 4. Just before Malachi for you Italians. No, Malachi. Then go to Zechariah chapter 4. I want you to see something about his diligence. In Zechariah chapter 4, look with me at verse number 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice. Beloved, you're going to rejoice. Trust me. And shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. It seems we just read that somewhere. Amen. That's Zechariah 4, chapter 4 and verse 10. Yes, why? Because he's diligent in working on the behalf of the sons of men. I'm so glad he didn't just create everything and then back up and fold his arms and say, we'll just, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. No, that's not our God. He is active and he is diligent. You've heard the expression, busy bee? Scientists tell us that the bee got this title because of its diligent persistence in making honey. Listen, one bee buzzing about the red clover blossoms must visit no less than 56,000 clover heads in order to produce 1 pound of honey. Now, there are about 60 flower tubes to each clover head, meaning that busy bee must literally visit 3,360,000 tubes to make 1 pound of honey. That's diligence, amen? But beloved, think how God is diligent in running to and fro, back and forth, up and down, all around for your well-being. He's diligent, amen? He's diligent, boy. Yeah, we need those bees because I like honey. Fourthly, this morning, notice this in our text. Concerning the eyes of the Lord, we must consider their extent. Oh, I like this. Consider their extent, beloved. Look with me in chapter 16, verse number 9 of 2 Chronicles. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout Kyle's neighborhood. So? No. The whole earth. Beloved, listen carefully. I am so glad this morning that his eyes, the extent of his dominion, and all that he does is universal. Amen. Right now, you know that right now, in Australia, they're worshiping God. It's Sunday. Amen. In Africa, they're worshiping the king. Why? Because his eyes, their extent, are universal. Listen, do you realize, beloved, that the eyes of the Lord know no boundaries, no limits? Their extent is the whole earth, the whole universe. All of space, time, and eternity are before God's eyes at once. He's omnipresent. Listen, the Bible says this God of ours inhabits eternity. That means if you could get in a time machine, you know these movies where the guy makes a time machine, whoop, 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 and he goes back in time a million years, you know what you'd find? Not the Stone Age, like the movie said. You'd find God. If you could get in that time machine, whoop, 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 and you go a million years into the future, you'd find God. Where you been, he'd say. Why? Because he's there now. He inhabits all of eternity. That gives me great comfort. Because I know my Father's got tomorrow in his hand. He's already there. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to sweat it. Amen? Because of the extent of his eyes. Glory to God. Proverbs chapter 15. Look here in Proverbs chapter 15, beloved. Incredible verse concerning the extent of his eyes and what he sees. In Proverbs chapter 15, look at it. Don't miss this verse. Chapter 15 of Proverbs, look at verse 3. The what?
The eyes of the Lord
are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Yeah. He sees it all. Every place. You say, what about center of the earth? He sees it. What about surface of Mars? He sees there, he sees it. You can't get away from God, David said in Psalm 113. If I should dig down to hell, behold, thou art there. If I should climb up to heaven, behold, thou art there. You can't get away from him. I like that because he's a good God. Amen? D.L. Moody tells of the story of a young boy who never missed Sunday school. Every week he would have to pass by the house of a man who was an atheist. The man would mock him because he carried his Bible. One day, the man was sitting on his porch as the boy passed by with his Bible on his way to church. The man yelled at the boy and said, "Tell me, my boy, tell me where God is, and I'll give you an apple." The boy looked up sharply at the man and promptly replied, "I will give you a whole barrel of apples if you will tell me where he is not." Silence. Guy didn't say a word. He said, "Wait a second, if this kid's right, I'm in trouble." Amen? No response from the man. That little boy understood that God is omnipresent. He sees it all. Glory to God. But one last thing I want you to see this morning, folks, and I'll be quiet. We've seen the reality of the eyes of the Lord. They are the eyes of the Lord. We've seen their swiftness and speed. They run. Thirdly, we've seen their diligence. They don't stop. Fourthly, we've seen their extent. They're everywhere, all the time. But fifthly, I want you to consider their purpose. Consider their purpose back in our text. Second Chronicles chapter 16. Look at verse 9. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." Did you catch the purpose of his eyes running all about? He wants to show himself strong today, beloved. In your life, he wants to do miracles. He wants to work through you. He wants to reach the lost. Oh, beloved, I'm so glad that the purpose of his eyes running to and fro is to show himself strong on my behalf. Ooh, this is good stuff, beloved. Brothers and sisters, I beg you to hear me in closing this morning. Don't miss this truth. God has a specific purpose for running to and fro throughout the whole earth. Here it is. The glorious God of heaven, the creator of all the universe and all things therein, has a personal desire and interest in you, and you and you and me, to show himself strong on our behalf. Listen, he wants to show himself strong for us against the devil. He loves standing up for his children. Amen? He wants to show himself strong for us in overcoming sin in our lives. He wants to show himself strong for us in accomplishing his will through each of us. Beloved, he wants to personally manifest his great power to you, working in and through your life by his Spirit. But look at the rest of the verse. Verse 9. "Herein thou hast done foolishly." Notice in our text that God wanted to work a miracle for Asa, and he couldn't. Why? It says his heart was not perfect toward him. Now, don't get flustered by that word perfect. Doesn't mean sinless perfection. None of us will get that till we get a glorified body. That word perfect denotes sincere, upright, and mature. That means you grow up spiritually. Amen? That means you begin to take seriously what God says in his word and live accordingly. That's a mature Christian. That's a spiritually minded, spirit-filled, spirit-led man or woman of God. And that's the ones, he says in verse 9, that he wants to do great things through. I don't know about you, church, but I want to be one of them. I want to be one of those that he shows himself strong and he works through my life for the glory of his Son. Hear what I said? Not for self-promotion, but for the glory and exaltation of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we love him so much. Beloved, David said, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. If your heart is right with the Lord this morning, if you're walking in the Spirit, there's nothing, I like the words of that hymn, nothing between my soul and my Savior, nothing preventing the least of his favor. Oh, beloved, how we need in these last days to be filled with his Spirit. How we need to be those shining lights, like Carol said, that fella on the bench, the park bench, and he was just so dejected, just wanted to die, and she went over and gave him a gospel tract and told him, Jesus loves you. Amen? That's what we need to do, folks. We need to be the salt and light of the earth in these last days, because there's no time left. Church, it's a serious message this morning, and we need to let God have his way in our lives. In closing, let me give you this. Centuries ago, Lafayette, the great explorer, told one of his once being in prison for 4 years amongst the natives. He said, I was placed in a small cell without windows. Only a little tiny hole was cut out in the door. And at that hole, a soldier was placed day and night to watch me. All I could see was that soldier's eye upon me. But that eye was always there, day and night. For 4 years, that eye was upon me. It was dreadful. I began to hate it and fear it. There was no escaping that seeing eye or hiding from it. When I lay down and I rose up, that eye was still watching me. Beloved, the eyes of the Lord are not that way. His eyes are eyes of love. His eyes are eyes of caring. His eyes are eyes of compassion. His eyes are eyes of strength. Amen. And divine assistance. I'm so glad his eyes are upon us. Why? Verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for verse number 9. How we thank you, Lord, that your word is alive and you change not, you're immutable, and you are seeking those who you can show yourself strong on the behalf of today. Lord, I'm so thankful that any human being can be a candidate for this seeing eye of God. Any human being can receive the strength of the Lord, showing himself strong on our behalf. Any human being who will come to Jesus Christ, be born again, and receive his Holy Spirit, and seek your face, this verse will apply to. I thank you so much, Lord, that you're not only seeking those who are saved, but your eyes are seeking those who are not. Lord, it is amazing to me, your patience, your long-suffering. Lord, I'm thankful that you're long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, I pray that you would use this little church, that, Lord, you would proclaim the truth of the gospel through this church to the ends of the earth in these last days, that a great harvest of souls will come to know Jesus Christ as a result of what you're showing yourself strong on the behalf of here in Hooksett, New Hampshire. We thank you for all you're going to do, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals this morning. For a closing hymn, we'll stand. And let's open up to 134. I'll make that 249. I'm so glad that he's still calling to a world that desperately needs him today. Yes, indeed. 249, we'll sing the first, second, and fourth. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Safe on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Thank you, Lord. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for. Mercies for you and for me. Thank you, Lord. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, Father in heaven, thank you this morning that you're looking, watching, and waiting for those who will come to you. And Father, the message this morning is so personal because, Lord, it involves us personally, that you're watching over us, everything we do, everywhere we go, all the time. And Father, this morning I thank you that you are able to take care of any problem. By an uplifted hand, you might say, Pastor, pray for me. I've got this issue in my life that I need the strength of the Lord to take care of. I see that hand. I see that hand. Glory to God. I see that hand. Praise the Lord. Yes, I see that hand. Father, I thank you so much for these uplifted hands. And Lord, I thank you that your desire this morning is to personally come to these dear ones and show yourself almighty on their behalf. Lord, there is no power in heaven or earth that can compare to thy power. And I thank you, Lord, that whatever that situation is, whatever that problem is, you can take care of that, and you will by their uplifted hands, Lord. You've heard their hearts. And Lord, I thank you that even now you're rolling up your sleeves, going to work on their behalf, oh God. And then, Lord, I pray we'd search our hearts this morning if there might be anything amiss in our lives that would not be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. We confess that before his throne in the privacy of our own hearts. We want to be right. I like what it said, whose heart is right before God. Lord, we want to be right. We want to be sincere and upright, as the word means. And we want to be mature sons and daughters of the King, grown up into Jesus Christ in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and walking in your spirit and hearkening diligently to the voice of your word. And so, Father, we pray that you would forgive us our sins, O God, and strengthen us and sanctify us by your Holy Spirit, and cause us, Lord, to walk with you, in step with you, not ahead of you and not behind you, but holding your hand, being led by your Spirit, through Jesus Christ, your Son. Thank you, Father, for answering prayers this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, on the fourth, beloved, on the fourth.
Oh, the wonderful love he has promised. Promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Praise the Lord. Good singing this morning, beloved. And thank you for being in God's house on a Sunday morning, for setting the alarm and getting up. It's important to do. That gal back there, she probably worked all night. Brother Calvis, Mrs. Supreme. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, if you can join us. We'll be back in
the day off.
Amen! She'll be with us tonight. Brother Cal.
Lord, we thank you so much that we can openly and freely gather in your sight.
Yes,
to hear
Lord.
Your word, Lord, to have your message imparted to us, Lord, that you've given us a preacher who truly loves you, who goes out and finds a way to get your word to us and express it to us in a manner that each and every one of us can take with us and understand, and keep in our hearts forever. I ask you, Lord, to just guide us through this, to help us grow with it, to keep us out of harm's way and safe, Lord, and bring us back safely this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
The insurance.